Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Breaking news. This, according to Jeff Passan, free agent star Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Machado, who are the top three suitors? White Sox are the
White Sox.
I've come to talk with you again.
The White Sox, they could make a big splash.
Because a vision softly creeping.
Feels like it'll be their White Sox. I really don't think Machado wants to go to San Diego.
And the vision that was planted in my brain.
The White Sox are more likely to get him. It's just going to come down to money.
The White Sox still are the team for Machado.
10 years, $300 million for Manny Machado.
I'm just in shock. I'm so happy. It's such a massive, massive move for this city. God, we needed it, man. We really did.
Worst day of my life. What do you think?
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
The haunting sounds of Simon and Garfunkel. That encapsulates the mood, doesn't it?
It sure does.
So many White Sox fans.
This hour on The Score brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins.
Let's head to the New Jersey studios of the MLB Network for a conversation with a longtime guy. The Southpaw pal Dan Plesac is with us on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good afternoon, Sac. What's going on, bud?
Probably as stunned as everybody in the city of Chicago. I guess, you know, 3 or 4 days ago. Last week, Dan, I was in camp with the Phillies for a week as a guest instructor, and the entire buzz in Clearwater was, which of the two guys, Machado, Harper, was kind of split down the camp if you asked people in the Phillies, like, which player they liked better. Some people thought Machado would be a better fit for the team. Some thought that Harper would be a better PR move. He would be a left-handed bat that they need. They're hoping to get one of the two. I you know, when these, you always hear these mystery teams or these teams that are coming in, and I think that's the unfortunate thing when you play by that free agent sword, as the White Sox have done. It's not the first good offer, Dan, that gets the guy. Sometimes it's the last one. I'm not sure the White Sox, I know they're disappointed, Dan, but I'm not sure they wanted to go 10 years and $300 million. I think up until the last few days, they might have had the best offer on the table for Machado, but I think the closer it's gotten to camp starting, position players reporting today, The onus starts to go more on the teams now to try to get their guys into camp. And I just think, quite honestly, the Padres threw an offer at Machado that he just couldn't turn down.
The White Sox have said in some ways their offer was better. Ken Rosenthal's reporting that it could have been as much as $350 million. It started at 8 years, $250, and it had vesting options and things like that. If they were willing to do a creative offer at $350 million and sign his brother-in-law and sign his best friend, if Machado just wanted $300 million, why wouldn't the White Sox go there?
Good question. There's been conflicting reports. I'm like you guys. You know, you're looking at Twitter and you look at all things of social media, and Kenny Williams came out this morning, was very disappointed, and then there were reports that, you know, that they weren't sure they could go that high. So I'm not sure there was an offer of $300 million-plus on the table for Machado. I know this, the entire industry's kind of been on hold for both Harper and Machado. There are a lot of really good players that are out there that are unsigned, and I think as disappointed right now as the fans are in Chicago, I think if the Phillies don't get Harper, you're going to see the same thing. It's just kind of that Russian roulette kind of thing when you're dealing in the free agent market. You know, why guys choose to go to a certain place, I have no idea. You would think from a position player standpoint, that playing for the White Sox, the ballpark, a much better ballpark to hit in, The Padres out at Petco looked at more as a pitcher's ballpark. There's so many things that go into why guys sign what they do, whether they like a certain city, maybe playing in L.A. He liked the Southern California vibe. He liked the weather. Whatever it was, I know they're disappointed in Chicago. I was quite shocked. I really thought it was going to be between, for Machado, I thought it was going to be between the White Sox and the Yankees. I wasn't quite buying into this Padres thing being in. And now there are reports that the Padres may be in on Harper, too, but I can't see that happening.
Well, let's talk about some of those guys who might fit the bill. Rick Hahn did say he wasn't going to talk about any individual targets specifically, but he says there will be more conversations. Who makes sense right now for the White Sox?
I mean, Harper makes sense, but my gut feeling is this, Dan. If Manny Machado was able to get 10 for 300, the price is going to be higher for Harper.
Sure.
I think these two guys, I really think that one or the other, they were afraid to be the first guy that signs. And you could bet right now, Scott Boras, he wants to beat that 10 and 300. And I will say this. I think if the Yankees might be in on Harper, listen, they're never out on anybody. I really think the Phillies, they have targeted Bryce Harper from the beginning. There are some good players that are left out there. A guy like Adam Jones, a really good center fielder for the Orioles. He's a guy, a veteran guy. It depends on what the White Sox were looking for. Mike Moustakas off the board. He signed with Milwaukee yesterday. There are some good players out there, but there aren't any players left on the board that are in that talent level of Harper or Machado.
We're talking to Dan Plesac from MLB Network. Rick Hahn said that he was proud of the pursuit, even though he was disappointed with the result. The biggest free agent in White Sox history is Jose Abreu at $68 million. Is there any consolation prize or any solace in being, you know, the bridesmaid and not the bride here for the White Sox, or does all that matter that they didn't get him?
I think it just matters that they get him because, you listen, 3 or 4 days from now, once the Cactus League schedule gets started, it's disappointing because you have a team like the White Sox really wanted the player. And that's what's disappointing because they're trying to figure out what they know the direction they're going in, but they needed somebody to kind of kickstart that process, to get it going, you know. They need, maybe he would have been a really good fit and a guy that would help Moncado come around. Listen, I still talk to a lot of people in the industry that really believe that Moncada is the real thing. He hasn't lived up to the expectations as of right now. It's disappointing if you're Rick Hahn. It's disappointing if you're a fan of the White Sox because up until about 72 hours ago, it was believed throughout the industry that they had the best offer on the table. I really felt as though if either one, Harper and Machado, came back to a 4 or 5 year deal, that if the industry was going to hold pat like it's been and get away from that 8, 9, 10 year contracts, if it was somewhere around a 4 or 5 year contract, I thought the Yankees would be in. But I, quite honestly, I'm surprised at the length, 10 years. I'm surprised at $300 million. And I'm triply surprised that it was the Padres.
Danny, aside from playing before sparse crowds more often than not on the South Side, do the White Sox have a good reputation around
Yes.
baseball? There's no reason why free agents other than cash would shy away, is there?
No, and I think, Dan, that's what it came to. It came about the money. And for whatever reason, maybe Machado was driven or pulled towards that nice climate playing out on the West Coast. You know, there is the only knack about the Midwest and the East Coast, the vibe is this, Dan. It's normally cold April through the first part of May, and I get it. The Cubs have made that work. They've been to the postseason 5, 6 years in a row, excluding last year. I get it, the Yankees. I get it, the Red Sox. But the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Cubs, for sure the Yankees and Red Sox, they're not afraid to throw money at players. And money talks, Dan. When it's all said and done, and I think that maybe Machado looked at this. He looked at where the Padres are going. Now, I'm not into the whole Baseball America thing and the MLB.com prospect list, but I will say this. Everybody across the board that I talk to says that hands down, top to bottom, from A-ball to AAA, the future, nobody has the prospects lined up at all levels, pitching position players like the Padres do. So now, did they sell that on Machado? Was that a part of what he bought? It might have been. And you know what, Dan? Nobody really knows the reason why, but to answer your question, to me, there is no sentiment throughout baseball like that the White Sox, it's a bad place to play. I just think you have warm weather, you have palm trees, you have the West Coast, and a team that paid a lot of money, 10 for 300, and normally that's what gets the player.
We had the Players Union and Rob Manfred exchanging barbs yesterday. 10 years, $300 million was the reported offer or ask on Machado 100 days ago in free agency. There's been talk of collusion. How does this contract that it was signed for this amount at this time factor into what's been going on this offseason in your mind?
Well, I don't know, Dan, okay, this is the way, I guess, I'm removed from it. My last year was 2003, and I don't think that you're going to see guys play like I did for 18 years because, quite honestly, once you get past like that 31st or 32nd birthday, you're not going to see guys playing for 17, 18, 20 years anymore because the industry, I just don't think, is going to allow that to happen. But with that said, you can make up. You don't have to play 18 years, you know, to accumulate a lot of money. I understand where the players are coming from, but if you look across the board, I think what teams are doing now, they're staying away. And Harper, Machado, they fit a perfect criteria. They were entering free agency at age 26, so you know for at least 5 or 6 years you're still getting the prime. And I think players have just been so used to winning all the time and getting long-term contracts for guys that were in their mid to late 30s and still being able to do that. Teams aren't buying that anymore. But with that said, if you look at across the market, what some relievers that aren't ninth-inning guys, they're coming off the board. There are a lot of relief pitchers in baseball making $6 to $8 million that pitch the sixth and seventh inning. So the money's there. It's just, I think, the day of the 10-year Albert Pujols, most of the long, I wouldn't say all of them, but the majority of the long-term deals that are like 7 years and more, the back end of those contracts aren't very pretty.
You're going to be in Arizona next month at all, Sack?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
I want to see that big, long swing off the tee box if you have a few free hours. We
got
to go out and whack
it. I'll tell you what, we do the 30 teams in 30 days, and I'm doing I have the Cubs this year on Saturday, March 2nd. I'll be at the Cubs camp.
Okay. We arrive the following day. So, we'll make something happen. Thanks for the visit, as always,
okay,
buddy.
You got it.
Have a good day. That's Danny Plesac, 18 years in the big leagues, does a great job on MLB Network.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So he says nothing about the reputation of the Sox, just he guesses that it comes down to money.
Cash units, yeah. You don't want to come up with $300 million that's guaranteed, you're out. That's why they lost out, it appears.
I agree. It just seems like an odd hill to die on for me. They were willing to do $350 in some scenarios. They were willing to do more.
Guys have them, man. Guys draw that line in the sand.
I know.
The big boys at the table, and they refuse to cross it because it's a zero-sum game. And I'm, you know, if obviously that's a Sox thing, they feel like if they go there, they lose. There's no middle ground.
Right, but then why come out and say you feel like your offer was better?
Because it was if you achieve all of the incentives that he could have achieved. It was only better if he met all of their parameters.
I know, but that just seems like such a technicality that no White Sox fan wants to hear right now.
Well, and no player wants to sign that deal either, clearly. Like, all right, I'm a bet on myself, a difference of $50 million.
Very
like
few players, incentives. Shep, you're right, very few, but to some guys, 250, 300, what's the difference? Not
sure,
all of them, not many of them.
Few and far between.
Yeah,
and plus, like, we don't know what the incentives were. Was it, you're an American League MVP and you get an extra whatever $1 million. Like, how high were these incentives? Like, what was the...
I don't know.
I mean, that's...
We probably won't ever know all the details.
You know, lifestyle very well factored into it. He's been playing in a cold weather city in his career. Maybe he wants to play in San Diego.
Maybe, but I mean, the initial stuff was that the Yankees were his preferred destination.
I know it.
So, you know, he visited in Philly, Chicago, New York, and then he signs in San Diego.
Out of nowhere, the Padres come up and grab him, and Zach tells us don't be shocked if they get Harper, too.
Oh, I mean, that's not happening.
That was, wow. Wow, that's a lot of cabbage for two fellas.
$300 million to live in San Diego, and then Miami in the offseason. not a bad life.
Yeah, he's going to, you know, congratulations to him. Let him step on all the toes he wants to crossing first base.
In anonymity in the NL West. 312-644-6767. Let's go, Sox fans.
He'd be anonymous here, though, too.
On some level.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're playing in a better time zone if you ever get on national
right,
TV.
Right.
Bigger media market.
Yeah. You know. And the White Sox may draw a Sunday night salsa assignment if he were here. Maybe even two of them.
Cooler uniforms. Would match. What about Rawlings, by the way? Rawlings with that tweet with the damn
you
black.
You can wear black and white anywhere.
Ah, come on. Those trolls. I know a troll when
it's
I see a troll.
It's the khaki of baseball gloves. It goes with anything, doesn't it?
I guess. Hey, Rawlings owes an explanation for that tweet. That was bizarre. I mean, I kind of like it. It's good,
yeah,
it's good content.
Yeah, I kind of do, too. Sure. Every little bit along the way. We have been teased and teased and teased up until the morning of the 19th when the Padres come in and break the hearts of many Sox fans.
312-644-6767. We also have word on what the hell happened with that Dylan Cease question that we can pass along coming up on the score.
We said from the start that this rebuild was not going to be about one guy, that it was never going to be about one star, it was never going to be about one acquisition. There are certainly elements of this pursuit that, as an organization, I think we should be proud of.
Wrong.
Wonder how proud White Sox fans are feeling of their pursuit today.
Their boys gave it the old college try. They just came up short. $50 million of guaranteed money.
And I was someone who was saying along the way that, like, man, I'm even surprised that they're playing at that poker table. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was, too. At $250 million?
I was surprised that they were even in the game. But then when you lose out this way,
yeah,
it's like, why'd you even get into the game if you couldn't bridge that very small gap?
Don't stop now, boys, huh? Your Hawk Harrelson theory?
Exactly. It seemed odd. So Rick Hahn sits down to face the media after losing out on Manny Machado. He gives his opening statement, which you just heard a portion of there. And then this is the first question he's asked.
The trajectory continues to point upward, and we're going to continue to be aggressive in the future to try to add players like this. All right, questions?
You mentioned the rebuild, and obviously it's within the organization took a hit with Kopech having to undergo Tommy John surgery. What does that mean for how aggressive you guys are going to be with Dylan Cease's development?
Not exactly what I was expecting today. thank you for that. We can talk about baseball, too.
So weird. Shane Reardon says that word is that was a Baseball America reporter who was already there on assignment to do the Dylan Cease story.
Yeah, he's got an agenda. He's got a deadline. He couldn't care less about anybody asking follow-up questions about the one who got away.
Read the room, though, man. Make it the ninth question.
It's my understanding he received a scolding for his inappropriately timed question after the news conference wrapped up.
I would think so. I mean, pull him off. Tell PR, hey, I got to ask him something non-Machado related off to the side. That is such a weird look. Hey, the biggest story in baseball you guys just missed out on. Let me talk about a pitcher in your organization who won't be with the big league club at the beginning.
How's Jake Berger's weight?
Yeah, what an odd thing. 312-644-6767 in Tinley Park. Jesse is on the score. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
All right. So, you know, I know you guys have been talking about this for a while. Granted, you know, given the younger generation following baseball and trying to make it more exciting. So I've been a Sox fan since as long as I can remember. But, you know, the thing that makes this just absolutely, you know, intolerable for me is, you know, you have Kenny Williams that's sitting at the table saying that $300 million is just not a benchmark that he wants to cross. And I am excited about the rebuild. I'm excited about Kopech. I'm excited about Eloy Jimenez, you know, what the future could hold. But if we have someone that's not willing to go to that $300 million mark, where does that put the White Sox organization going into the future with big-name players like Nolan Arenado, who's going to be in free agency next year, or any of these big-name guys? You know, you made a great comment that you were surprised that the White Sox were even at the table. And, you know, it just seems like we got absolutely, as fans, we got fleeced in this argument. So I'm going to hang up and hear what you guys have to say about that.
All right. Thank you.
Signed, not proud, in Tinley Park.
Exactly. There's a lot of free agents you can get for $250 million. So you'll be able to be in on plenty of players going forward at that number. It's just the best guys are going to be at a number that apparently Kenny Williams says you're not willing to get to yet.
Not yet.
You know, that's just what it is.
Might it be something about Machado that was a $50 million difference maker for them?
Well, sure. I assume that they weren't willing to go to $300 million for Machado, but if it was Mike Trout, I'd assume they'd be willing to go there.
Yeah.
But Mike Trout might cost $450 million.
I would suspect he's going to be more than what the Padres are paying for him.
Absolutely. So, and that's the thing. It keeps going up. Which is why I thought this offseason was so messed up and broke, because all right, this is what was speculated on. John Heyman does his contract projections thing at the start of free agency every year. He talks to executives, agents, all around the game, right. And then he gets their best guess on a contract and then his best guess. His prediction was for Machado was 10 years, $300 million. Like it's not like this has been some sort of surprise.
Well, as Rick said though today, in some elements our offer was superior. Some elements. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those elements would be him fulfilling every possible bonus incentive he could earn. That's what would have made it superior.
And the average annual value. It was 31.25 million instead of 30 million, but you guaranteed two fewer years.
Right.
So in total value, it's not nearly as valuable. In Joliet, John is on the score. Hey, John.
Good afternoon, guys. You know, sitting section one away with the guys eating a dollar hot dog would have been a lot better with Machado on the field, and now we ain't even got that. It just fires me up as a fan. And Kenny Williams, get your ass back in the office. Nobody wants to hear from you. Bye.
All right, bye. I was surprised to hear from Kenny Williams today. I got to be honest.
Why? What at this point would surprise you about Kenny wanting to take a peek out from beyond the ivory tower? He's been doing that these last few years. He can't stop himself.
Yeah, he's in a golf cart at some league meetings without Rick Hahn. This is Rick Hahn's team at this point. Rick Hahn is the spokesperson. Rick Hahn is the architect.
As much as Kenny wants to divorce himself from that part of his job, he can't. I don't know what it is, but he feels the need to be the spokesperson when something big happens. And that's something he said he was wanting to, that was something he was looking forward to leaving when Rick succeeded him as the GM by business card.
Right. And listen, not every media was there. It seemed impromptu. It seemed like, hey, there's news. There's Kenny Williams. Let's go talk to him.
Sure.
They put a mic in front of his face and he talked. So it doesn't seem like this rollout was how anybody planned it to be. Like, Passan got the scoop early, and then they're talking, and they're licking their wounds, but they want to get out in front of it. But Kenny spoke before Rick, and then Kenny said one thing, like, we can't get to 300, and then Rick said there's no hard cap on what they could get to. It was just, it's a muddled message. Frank and Darian's on the score. Thanks for calling, Frank.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, I want to bring this out that I don't know how these Sox fans can't be blaming Jerry. I mean, this is all Jerry. He runs the team. He makes the decisions. And Rick and Kenny are puppets. He got a free stadium. Free. Don't pay no rent. And you're gonna be cheap here? Now you're going to have Eloy come up. Who's going to hit behind him? Engel? Yomer? are they serious? You bring this back to this lineup, and everybody's better. Everybody.
Can you call
this guy following him, then have Adam Engel or Yonder, whoever we got, batting behind him. I mean, anyone that watches baseball knows that.
And
Jerry slides away. He just slides away. I'm hearing Sox fans tell me they're okay with the rebuild. The same clowns are doing the rebuild that have run this team for 36 years. There's nothing different.
Frank, can you call them cheap if they offer $250 million? Is that cheap?
No, I don't. They should have gotten. They have to get them. You can't just almost. You can't always finish second. You know what I mean? You just can't always finish second.
So, well, they haven't finished second.
They
haven't.
$50 million,
wow, Frank's wound
down?
Up. Thank you, Frank. They've never been, you know, on the medal stand in one of these. They've never had a $100-plus million contract in franchise history. They haven't. And for the record, the White Sox building makes money for the state of Illinois and has for many, many years.
What? Frank was fired up, what? Man.
Yeah.
He one speed.
Yeah,
no brakes.
I know. He wasn't listening to anything.
No, it's okay.
And maybe it was Jerry who said, I'm not doing $300 million guaranteed.
Maybe.
It could have been Jerry.
Maybe. I don't know that you can say their offer was cheap, though.
No, it wasn't cheap. $250 million is not a laughable offer. They were there. They were in the team photo.
I just can't believe that that wasn't something they were able to mark over, right? Like, if Machado's agent came to them and said, nah, my client wants no incentives, no vesting options.
Right.
He wants...
Starts with a three. That's when we grab a pen.
Correct. And now, hey, okay, you get to 10 years, $300 million, and that's what the Padres are at. Maybe he still chooses San Diego. But at least then you know that it was, hey, you made an offer that was exactly competitive with what he signed for, and he just didn't want to play there.
Right. It's just that they, you know, I'm telling you, guys take the oddest things. I mean, it's not odd. It's a $50 million difference. But you're right. When you factor in all the incentives he could have made with that deal they offered, it would have exceeded the $300 million. But some guys just draw a line in the sand on a certain issue in a negotiation, and there is no way they're going to take a departure for it. And I would not be surprised if it were Jerry Reinsdorf who said, I'm not guaranteeing $300 million ever.
And it's also just fun – ever. I mean, that would be a problem. It's also just fundamentally untrue that they can't afford it. They absolutely can afford it. Every team in baseball can afford it.
If you would have put that $31 million salary, what does that put their salary up to? Their team this year is still around $115 million, right? In that?
Correct. For this year.
For this year.
But then beyond that, for the 2020 season, I think they got less than $50 million in salaries committed. I could pull it up to get the exact numbers, but they've got no expensive long-term contracts anywhere.
Let me know what Dylan Cease is penciled in at, all right? I'm curious about that.
Okay, I'll be sure to do that. Mark and Lyle's on the score. Hey, Mark.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. As a lifelong Sox fan, I take solace in the fact that either Harper or Machado would turn into a Adam Dunn, Joey Bell disaster. But since I'm looking forward, I'm wondering who are the Padres going to give the White Sox for Yonder Alonso and John Jay, since both those guys are now expendable.
Which of Bell's 49 homers or 152 RBIs that year did you like the least? Come on, man.
You're
saying disaster. Yeah, 2 years here. He rewrote the White Sox offensive record books. What are you talking about? How is it a disaster?
What'd they win?
Nothing. But exactly. He was not a disaster, though.
In 97, he was.
He's committed to his position.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, you forget about that 97.
Now, he does make the point of, can they trade John Jay or Yonder Alonso? Man, do you think they'll get booed? Do you think those guys will get booed at White Sox opening day? They're the symbol of not getting Manny Machado.
I don't know. As we just pointed out, they weren't cheap. They were a part of this more than anybody would have guessed less than a year ago when everybody began their speculation on where this guy's going to wind up playing. Nobody had the White Sox at that time figured as a player. Nobody.
Agreed.
So that they were willing to go to $250 million and more with incentives, I'm not going to tell White Sox fans why not, but they'll find another reason to be angry before opening day if this doesn't do it. But I don't know how you can say, all right, they didn't make a fair offer. They did make a reasonable offer.
I just think that once they made a fair offer, they just didn't make an offer that the guy who they were pursuing wanted. And so, and since their offer was so close, like I said before, they didn't get blown out of the water by the Yankees. It's not like, okay, hey, listen, we went 8-250 and he signed for $375 million fully guaranteed. They weren't even in the ballpark. They were absolutely in the ballpark. They say that their offer was actually better.
Right.
Well, then then you should just rework your contract and make it how your guy
just
wants
bite
it.
Bite the bullet and pay him the $300 million.
And figure out how to get it done.
Yeah.
They
weren't going
to
do it.
Second place doesn't get you anything here. But man, I'm telling you, Yonder Alonso and John Jay are going to have a miserable experience with the White Sox.
How awkward's that empty locker now? Like,
yeah.
Right between both of them, and there's still not a jersey hanging up in it.
Hang Hoss's jersey.
There you go.
Shep.
Right.
Sweater. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Danny, you think they get booed?
I don't care if they get booed or not.
I don't think they will either.
I didn't say you'd care.
No, people that are going to go to opening day on a team that's still in a rebuild, I don't think they're going to have the energy to boo a player that they have no previous, you know, relationship with. He wasn't on a rival. Guy wasn't a Cub. Well, John Jay was, but you know what I mean. I don't think they're going to care enough to boo. I certainly, you know, if I was a fan and you're going to shell out the dough to go on opening day, why waste your time and boo somebody? You're there to have fun.
They have to save their energy for other things they'll do on opening day. They won't have to do all season, like stand in longer lines to go to the restroom or to grab a sausage sandwich.
There's a positive spin. I mean, John Jay didn't sign himself to the contract. You know what I mean? Like,
right, they did their job. They both did their jobs. They're filling uniforms. They're breathing oxygen, drinking water, wearing the colors.
Man, Chuck Garfine scheduled to join us at 3 o'clock. Hub at 4:40. We'll hear from Bruce Levine on the show today.
Chuck will be blue today, I have a feeling.
Yes,
he takes these things kind of hard, I'm guessing.
He's
Mr. White Sox.
He does great work.
Hoping for an audience for pre and post.
That's right.
His audience just dipped 2 full points in the ratings.
Oh God. Yeah, you're right. He's got a lot personally invested. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, and you've seen these stories about Bulls TV being off. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. If they're not watching the games, can you imagine how few are hanging around to hear the epitaph afterward?
No, yeah. Sox pre and post can't get huge numbers. The games don't get huge numbers. I mean, he does good field reporting during the game, but yeah, there's not much ratings on the South side right now. Yeah, Machado would have helped that, Mac.
Yes, he would have. I do.
Okay, good.
I do. There's other guys out there, though. There's other guys. There's not him, but there's other guys who can make him better.
Yeah.
Much more affordably. Plesak said Adam Jones. Been playing center field. Very
fine
fashion. Can we get
a time machine to go back to 2009?
Yeah, sure. You know, Hawk could come out of he'd unretire if Adam Jones came back. That's Superman to Hawk Harrelson.
Well, you know how Hawk thinks of Superman.
Racia.
It's McNeil and Fargus on the score.
Hey, we are positioned. The reason why we were going after him in the first place is because we feel we are positioned to do some good things here, you know, moving forward. We wanted to accelerate that to a large degree, and that's why we made the overture that we did. But we'll keep the train rolling.
The sound effect that Les Grobstein uses for a train wreck.
An almost train wreck.
Ish.
Broken window on a train. Somebody threw a rock through it.
It happens. I'll be working with that man tomorrow night. Was there confusion, by the way, Shep?
You find that man!
I heard that I maybe messed up Les's schedule, and I didn't mean to do that. I said, you know, Wednesday night, because to me, that's tomorrow night.
But into Thursday morning, right. That's
when I checked in on that, I was met with confusion over why there would be confusion, because I guess things had been resent and emails had already been resent as late as yesterday evening.
Okay.
Did you receive an email?
No, when I came in today, there seemed to be some confusion amongst people here that I was going in tonight, because that is technically Wednesday for Les's show, because midnight tonight is Wednesday.
I see that. Yeah.
Right? But I thought it was communicated clearly that I'm doing it after our Wednesday show, which is Wednesday night for me. He looks at it as the next day, but, you know, technicality. So tomorrow evening, technically Thursday morning, I'll be in there.
The dude starts on, like, tonight's show starts on the 19th. So it would be the show on the 19th.
No, but he starts at midnight.
And not in he starts at midnight.
He starts at midnight.
I thought he started at 11.
And so, on the schedule here, it says that I'm in on tonight's show, which is tomorrow. So I'm not in for in that you suck, and that's our bad. Or I don't know who's
bad. Oh, and you really wanted to do that one,
too. We're watching Babe Ruth. Your reaction to that. You being Babe Ruth.
Yeah, I suck. I should just win.
Easy night, too.
What?
You could take all the Machado calls, all the Reinsdorf calls like we've been taking.
He doesn't want to do it tonight.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just,
he needs a good night's rest.
He's
up late Sunday doing national radio. He's out at the Hawks game last night having fancy Italian food and watching pond hockey.
That's right. I've just been planning to do it tomorrow night. So I got to watch True Detective tonight. I'm behind. So, you know, I'm messing up. I can't change my schedule. I'm sorry. So what's the bid on Thursday? What happens on Thursday?
Unfortunately, nothing. You can wait a day, cover Friday.
You'll feel right at home.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Dumbass.
That's perfect. By the way, the bottom of the hour on the score was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Yeah, I've been prepping to do nothing my whole career.
The only problem with doing nothing is you're not sure when you're finished.
That's true. When it began. Yeah. It's just one endless train wreck to nothing. This segment also brought to you by Credit Union One, Chicagoland's credit union. Credit Union One offers competitive low-rate jumbo mortgage loans. Learn more at creditunionone.org. Equal housing opportunity, NMLS number 384759. Each account insured up to $250,000. By member's choice, this institution is not federally insured.
I would introduce, I've seen this theme a couple times phrased this way. This is so White Sox to lose out in the Machado thing. No, it isn't. It's so White Sox to have your heart ripped out of your chest or to have disappointment, you know, overshadow optimism. But it's not so White Sox to be a finalist in a derby for an athlete who his price tag is as high as Manny Machado's. That is not White Sox.
Agreed. Well, that's why this whole story is
so
been
be
so
proud of the college try, kids.
No, like I was on board with, hey, it is a step in the right direction that you're willing to pay premium free agents, and I gave them credit for that, and I do believe it. Where I fall short is this feels like you lost by a hair. And you could have easily made that up. This doesn't.
That's a $50 million hair.
But not if you were willing. Not if you wrote them a contract that could have been worth $350 million.
Could have been.
Right.
I'd love to see what could have paid him.
Right.
$350 million.
I do too.
How many triple crowns did he have to win to cop $350
million? I agree with you. I don't know how attainable it was, but I don't think, given how well these baseball reporters are sourced, Ken Rosenthal's out there with White Sox contract details. I don't think Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams come out there and say, we actually felt like we made a better offer, if they don't think that their contract was certainly close to what Machado signed for, if not legitimately better. Why would you do that?
Yeah, even if the incentives put it near, let's say put them near, you know, which fairly not easily attainable, but realistically, yeah, I'm going to pocket those incentives, and you get it to 280. There's still 20 million light, and if the bottom line for Machado was 300 million, do not make me accomplish one extra thing to get that 300. They were SOL.
You're probably right, and that certainly is what it seems, and the White Sox shot and missed. They shot and missed. I just don't know how much credit you get when it feels like the gap wasn't that big. Because he didn't go to the Yankees. He didn't go to the Phillies. You know what I mean? He went to a team that you're the same. Not a huge national presence. Young prospects.
Yep, all at the developmental levels right now.
That's exactly right.
Maybe weather. Hey, we got several anniversaries and birthdays to acknowledge today.
Yep.
One of them is a sad one, but it's a happy, happy song because it reminds people of that power era of AC/DC. He went out 39 years ago last night and had himself a belly full of vodka. Bon Scott died 39 years ago this morning. This is from AC/DC's Highway to Hell album. I favor the Bon Scott era. We'll talk with Chuck Garfine about the bad White Sox news in just a few minutes on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.